Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day from Movement. Whether your mom is into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, everything at Movement is up to 50% off site-wide during their Mother's Day sale. A watch is a gift that celebrates all the time you spent with mom. And a Movement watch is even more than that. Movement uses industry-leading materials for their fresh, modern watch designs, from technically complex ceramics to vintage-inspired style, all for an incredible value your wrist and wallet will both love. And with one-size-fits-all convenience and fast, free shipping and returns, it's a stress-free shopping experience. Save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with Movement. Get up to 50% off site-wide during their Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.
This is Stan Phelps, author of Black Goldfish, 10 Keys to Creating a Differentiated Experience. And you are listening to the Marketing Book Podcast.
Welcome to the Marketing Book Podcast, helping you keep up with the smartest thinking in the quickly changing field of modern marketing. And now, here's your host, Douglas Burdett.
Hello, thanks for joining me on the Marketing Book Podcast, where each week I publish an interview with the author of a new marketing or sales book, and which has been named as one of the top marketing podcasts by Forbes and LinkedIn, amongst others. Don't worry about taking notes. You can find links to everything linkable in this episode's website page at marketingbookpodcast.com. And since I get to read every book featured on the show, if I can recommend a specific marketing or sales book or any other resource I know of for whatever challenge you're facing, send me a LinkedIn connection invite with a message that you're a listener, and I will do my best to get you pointed in the right direction. My name again is Douglas Burdett. This episode is sponsored by Marketing Architects, creators of the all-inclusive TV advertising concept that's so revolutionary, they wrote a book about it. I'll tell you more and how to get a free copy of the book in a few minutes. Now, let's get on with the show. Today, we welcome back for the third time Stan Phelps to talk about his book, Black Goldfish, 10 Keys to Creating a Differentiated Experience. Stan Phelps is a best-selling author, keynote speaker, and workshop facilitator. He's a TEDx speaker and IBM futurist, and his writing has been syndicated on top sites like Forbes, Customer Think, and Business to Community. He has spoken at more than 500 events across Australia, Bahrain, Canada, Ecuador, France, Germany, Holland, Israel, Japan, Malaysia, Peru, Russia, Singapore, Spain, Sweden, the UK, the US, and North Korea. Prior to professional speaking, Stan had a 20-year career in marketing that included leadership positions at IMG, Adidas, PGA Exhibitions, and Synergy. And at Synergy, he worked on award-winning experiential programs for top brands such as KFC, Wachovia, NASCAR, Starbucks, and M&M's. He is the author of the Goldfish series of books, which includes, now stay with me, Purple Goldfish, Green Goldfish, Golden Goldfish, Blue Goldfish, Pink Goldfish, Yellow Goldfish, Gray Goldfish, Red Goldfish, Diamond Goldfish, Silver Goldfish, and one other book that is particularly relevant to the host of the Marketing Book Podcast, Bar Tricks, Bad Jokes, and Even Worse Stories. Really, he wrote that book. And interesting fact, Stan Phelps has a law degree and is the older brother of the most successful and most decorated Olympian of all time, competitive swimmer Michael Phelps. Stan, congratulations on Black Goldfish, and welcome back to the Marketing Book Podcast.
Thank you. And you can't listen to any part of that intro. I've never spoken in North Korea. Thank you very much.
Oh, you know, I thought you were there on that trip with Dennis Rodman, the NBA star, who is friends with Kim Jong, number one. No, that wasn't you? Okay.
No relation. In fact, this is a little known fact. I actually have web toes, so I am banned from Olympic swimming. No relation to Michael.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, because I was going to ask you what it's like being overshadowed by your younger brother. But okay, so those are the only two things that aren't true. You do have a law degree. And what's funny is I just interviewed another recovering lawyer, a guy with a law degree, Anthony Anarino, author of Elite Sales Strategies. And so just in case people might you know, be wondering, you in fact do not need to have a law degree to be on the Marketing Book Podcast. But I think it's interesting that, and actually Jeff Roars is another guy, author of Audience, who has a law degree and found his way into this other world.
So Anthony wrote the foreword to Diamond Goldfish. He is a great, smart dude, and I actually look forward to that listen. When does that go live? Is that soon?
Oh, it's already been published. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
So I didn't realize that you guys were connected. I hadn't read Diamond Goldfish. In fact, I haven't read all the books in the world. Some people wonder about that, but that is great. So two guys with law degrees, one right after the other. And you're both seem like really happy people, even though you both, you know, have law degrees. So there you go.
Well,
you know,
footnote to my law degree. I did my law degree when I did my MBA.
Uh-huh.
So I am a member of the bar, but I've never practiced law per se.
Okay. And that may also be true for Anthony. But since I'm talking to the guy that's written all these fish books, goldfish books, I do have to ask you one question, and you have a law degree. I do have to ask you one question. Why won't sharks attack lawyers?
Professional courtesy.
Yes! Absolutely. Okay, so that means I've got 17 more lawyer jokes here, and since you answered that one correctly, we're not going to tell any more lawyer jokes.
Good.
So, good. You know, and of course, to all the lawyers out there, everybody makes lawyer jokes until they need one. Well, listen, congratulations on being inducted into the Marketing Book Podcast Three-Timers Club.
Three-timer?
Yeah, man. Wow. So what that means now, it's kind of a secret society, and there's even a secret handshake. So, you know, you meet Anthony Annarino. He just joined the Four-Timers Club. For the rest of your life, though, one thing that will be going quite well for you is you are going to be spending less money at Taco Bell for the rest of your life. Mm. All you have to do is pull up to the drive-thru at a Taco Bell, and don't go inside a Taco Bell. Never go inside a Taco Bell. But just pull up to the little speaker there, and they won't know who Stan Phelps is, but you just say, I'm a member of the Marketing Book Podcast Three-Timers Club, and things are going to start happening for you. So, you know.
But by the way, I have to share this. Andre Agassi had perhaps one of the best quotes of all time. He said he got off the tennis court after whipping this guy in Davis Cup, which is the international competition. And the reporter said, you know, he won the last two sets 6-0, 6-0. And the reporter said, why didn't you just give that guy a game? And he said, I only believe in two things in my life. He said, one, when you're representing your country, you can never beat anyone too bad. And he said, number two, he said, you can never drive too far for Taco Bell.
Yes. Excellent. Very patriotic American there.
Andre Agassi, yes.
So, yeah, you could probably have asked him, what makes America great? He would have said Taco Bell. So, you know, there you go. There you go. So you were on episode 197 to talk about pink goldfish. And right. Then you came back exactly 100 episodes later, episode 297, you came back to talk about purple goldfish, and this is going to be episode 389, and you just couldn't wait for episode 397, you know.
Horrible timing.
To keep your consistency. So I do hope that you will plan to come back at least every 100 episodes.
Count me in.
Okay. Well, then you got to keep writing books. Actually, there's so many other books you've written that we could just go back and do. We could probably have like a Stan Phelps festival that could go for about a 3 months. So,
well, that leads us to black, which is kind of, you get black when you combine all of the other colors together.
That is right. But let me just mention a couple of listeners to the Marketing Book Podcast. So Roland DeWitt is in... Now, I know I'm going to pronounce this wrong because you teased me about it before. He's in Breda, the Netherlands.
That's pretty close.
Breda? Okay. And he works for Salesforce, and he's a Marketing Book Podcast listener. Shout out to Roland and all those listeners in the Netherlands. And I introduced him to AJ Hausman, who lives in the Randstad. Sorry if I'm pronouncing that wrong. Anyway, AJ is one of the top content marketing experts in the Netherlands, and then they became friends and so forth. And I just thought, you know, a guy here in the United States, here I am having to connect two guys in the Netherlands, you know, across the ocean. What happens? Not long after that, Roland DeWitt says, hey, you've got to meet this guy, Stan Phelps. He's such, you know, such a great author. And turns out Stan Phelps is in the very next state. I'm in Virginia, you're in North Carolina, and I'm just thinking, it is so weird, this new world where it takes a guy from across the ocean to introduce me basically to my next door neighbor, and then I later got to meet you in person in Raleigh, North Carolina a few years back, and we had breakfast together, and I spoke at the American Marketing Association, and you came, and Evan Carroll was there, and David Rendell was there, and I enjoyed speaking there, and I tried to get some feedback on the talk, and you know, most everyone said, "Oh, that was really great, really entertaining. Thanks for coming down." And I went to you, and you're like the only person that gave me really specific, constructive feedback, some things I had done wrong, and I really appreciated that, and it's really had an impact. And I'll never be a Stan Phelps speaker, but it really got me paying attention to a lot of things like that. So I still appreciate that, and I hope you're still giving feedback to folks that ask for that. So I'm not joking about that part, but everything else I'm joking about. So
now, not things that you're doing wrong, things you could just improve.
That's right. That's right. In fact, you said, look, these are some things that were really good in the talk, and then these are some other things that you should do. And it was kind of a head slapper for me, like, God, why? What was I thinking? I got to do that better. So anyway, but it's like anything. If you want to get better at something, just start doing it. I mean, look at me. I think I always encourage folks who first discover the Marketing Book podcast to listen to the newer episodes, because I hope I've gotten a little bit better at this over 400 of these interviews. So now, speaking of the Marketing Book podcast, there's just a little bit behind the scenes information that I want to share with the listeners. Okay, this is a Marketing Book podcast exclusive. So Stan Phelps, I was supposed to interview him last week. And Stan was in Sydney, Australia. He got COVID. He then had to quarantine at a Sydney airport hotel. And I'd like to think that, you know, you were going through a tough time and you were, you know, trying to find the will to live. And what pulled you through was your desire and your commitment to being on the Marketing Book podcast a third time and to being there for the listeners of the Marketing Book podcast. So Stan won't say this to you, listener, okay? But basically, he's thinking, you're welcome. I'm here.
That pulled me through. How did you know that?
Well, you know, people are looking for a will to live. And for right. you, it, you know, but so I appreciate that. Now, I heard from some listeners who knew I was going to interview you. And the one question that kept coming up was, does Stan Phelps actually have any pet goldfish?
I do not currently. But my very first pet ever was a pet goldfish when I was 6 years old, which is part of the inspiration behind the entire series.
Yes, and we will talk about that. Now I'm going to give you some constructive feedback, okay?
Sure.
So this book is kind of pulls together, and you can talk more about this, all some of the key insights from all those other goldfish books. And I think that you should not have written this book.
Why?
Because instead, you could have sold a box set of every goldfish book. Mm. So you see, you're leaving money on the table here. But now people could just buy this one. And what I think is going to happen is they're going to read this and they're going to go, oh, wait, I need to go back and read like Pink and Purple and that
right.
sort of thing.
I need to go deeper, right?
Yeah, yeah. So could you actually go back and briefly recap the topics of the 10 different colored goldfish books and then explain, you know, why this goldfish metaphor, like you started to touch on there?
Sure. So it all started because I worked in marketing. And the first book, which is Purple, is all about the little things that you do for your customer as part of the experience that you provide. So little things that make you different, things that you do to add value, things that you do to make it easier. And I thought the sun rose and set on the customer, Douglas. And what I realized when I studied over 1,000 examples is that the companies that really got it even got it more so for their own employees. Mm-hmm. And that led me to green. And green is just, what do you do for your employees beyond the dollars that you pay them to reinforce the culture and drive engagement?
Mm-hmm.
And so I did both of those books and I went, all right. I then had another takeaway, and this was the idea. I used to think you would treat all of your employees and all of your customers the same. And so Golden Goldfish, which was, I originally thought maybe this is just going to be a trilogy because of the three colors of Mardi Gras, and there's a story there behind the inspiration for the first three colors. But Golden was all about the importance of your best customers and your best employees.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the little things that you do for your best, or what we call the vital few. And then I started doing some work with IBM. I started to see the role that technology was going to play. And so I partnered up for the first time with a co-author. So that was Evan Carroll. And we did Blue Goldfish, which is all the things that you do by leveraging technology and data to create a better experience. That led to Red Goldfish. And red is a metaphor for just for purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And how important it is to do the little things to really drive, you know, drive your purpose forward through the experience for both your employees and your customers.
Right. And did you also do a version of that? You've got a certain, some of these are like 2.0 or variations. You did one on nonprofits, wasn't that with the red?
Correct.
One?
Yeah. So for purple and red, I've done takedown editions. So I have a purple service edition, which is hotels, restaurants, airlines. For red, I've done a promo edition, a nonprofit edition. Yeah, and then for the 2.0, I've done purple 2.0, green 2.0, and pink 2.0.
Okay, so I got you off track. So we talked about red. So yeah, talk about pink.
Yeah, Pink was based on, I met this really interesting guy named David Rendell.
Yes, who I mentioned, yes. And he was wearing pink that day.
He's famous for wearing pink pants. He's pretty much every day of the week you see him head to toe wearing pink. And that was back to my marketing roots. It was the first book that was really focused on strategy. And it's based on the idea that your flaws are the things that make you awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, from Pink, the seventh book in the series was Yellow. You mentioned the Netherlands. I connected with Rosaria Laumann, and she and I did an entire book around happiness,
mm-hmm.
and how important happiness is to put that at the center of your strategy. The eighth book, which was Gray Goldfish, which was really about the first time I jumped into kind of leadership, but it's kind of leading across the generations. We now have five distinctive generations in the workplace. And that led to Diamond, which I mentioned Anthony wrote the foreword for, which is the kind of the first sales and client management book in the series. And that's all about how do you excel under pressure and be able to manage your both your prospects and your customers. And the 10th color was Silver Goldfish, and silver is all about communication. So how do you communicate in a way that's both loud and clear? And that led to the 11th, which is Black.
Yes. So I have a few questions about things in the book, which in each chapter talks about each of those books, and then you've got some additional chapters. So I was going to pull out some things. So it's almost every question I'm going to ask, you could say, oh, yeah, that's related to this book, or that's related sure. to that book. So just so the listener understands, that's kind of the we're not going to do a review of every single book, but there are some things that I wanted to mention.
Do you want me to talk about the metaphor of the goldfish?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yes. So really quickly, I mentioned my first pet was a goldfish. And so there's a little bit of, you know, nostalgia for me there, but it turns out that the average goldfish is the size of your thumb. So 3 inches or so, about 10 centimeters. And some grow to be, you know, smaller than that, and some grow to be bigger. And what I came to find out that the biggest goldfish in the world is nearly 19 inches. So like 6 times the size of average. And so that really intrigued me. And all of the books are about the idea that little things that you can do can make a big difference. And it turns out for a goldfish, their growth is determined by 5 factors. And those same five factors apply to everyone that's listening right now.
Mm-hmm.
So really, I'll go through it really quickly.
Yeah, please.
If you're a goldfish, the size of the bowl that you're in will determine how big you get. So the bigger the bowl that you're in, the more you can grow, typically. And in business, that's simply the market for your product or your service. And it makes sense. The bigger the market you serve, the more you can grow. The second is more about the other goldfish that are in the bowl. And so the second growth factor, if you're a goldfish, is the amount of other goldfish. So the less goldfish in the bowl, typically the more you grow, the more goldfish will stunt your growth. So who are the other goldfish? It's your competition, right? The third thing, which I would tell people was always the toughest for people to understand until March of 2020. So for a goldfish, your growth is also impacted by the quality of the water that you're in, that surrounding environment, right? And the better that environment is, the more you typically grow. So that kind of macro for in business is simply the economy, right? Your ability to get capital, your customers, their confidence in terms of purchasing. And so all those external factors affect how you grow. The fourth thing, if you're a goldfish, is how you do in the first 4 months of life. So how, you know, they're tiny when they're born. They have had 100 brothers and sisters. How they get out of the gate is absolutely key to their future growth. And so simply, what's that when you're in business? Well, it's how you do as a startup. Like how quickly you get out of the gate will be one of those factors.
You know what else that brought to mind was like Joey Coleman's book, Never Lose a Customer Again. I'm sure you've run into him on the speaking circuit over the years. And in his book, he talks about the importance of the first 100 days. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. You know, in other words, so how you do as a startup is very important. But then I also thought about how you onboard your new customers, what kind of experience you're giving them there.
Absolutely. Your how you onboard your new employees, your new customers, how you do when you, if you, even if you've been around for ages, if you launch a new product or a service, those 100 days apply as well. 120 days apply. So the fifth and final one is for a goldfish is their genetic makeup. So what are they born with that separates them from all of the other goldfish? And the stronger their genes are and the more that they achieve that separation, the bigger they typically get. If their genes are weak and they're like every other goldfish, the less they typically grow. And so what's that in business? It's simply differentiation.
Yes. Yes.
And what I say is, look, you know, there's five factors, and assuming you've already been in business for more than 4 months, no one has control over the market. You don't have control of your competition, right? Unless you're buying them. No one has control over the economy. The only thing you truly control is how you differentiate what you do, how you do it, and maybe more importantly, why you do it. And so that the metaphor of the goldfish is simply growth via differentiation.
TV advertising is a powerful channel for business growth, and it's a counterintuitive solution for businesses frustrated by the rising costs of digital marketing. But the traditional process for launching TV campaigns is expensive, time-consuming, and complex. That's why marketing architects flipped the traditional process on its head. With all-inclusive TV advertising, they invest their own money to produce, analyze, and optimize your TV campaign. All you pay for is media, setting you up for rapid growth at a significant cost advantage. This approach to TV is so revolutionary, they wrote a book about it. It's called all-inclusive TV, how booming brands are reimagining TV advertising. It explores how a variety of brands are using TV to transform their businesses and how you can do the same. For a free copy of the book, visit this episode's website page at marketingbookpodcast.com or visit marketingarchitects.com/book and tell them you heard about it on the Marketing Book Podcast. I want to read from the very beginning of the book where you dedicate it to the late marketing pioneer, Ted Levitt, Theodore Levitt.
Yep.
And this quote is really the cornerstone for your Goldfish series. The search for meaningful distinction is central to the marketing effort. If marketing is about anything, it is about achieving customer getting distinction by differentiating what you do and how you operate. All else is derivative of that and only that. And then I want to read from a section that's on page 172, is also on the back of the book. It just hits you like a ton of bricks. You write, "Your brand today is no longer what you tell people it is. It is the differentiated experience your employees deliver. It is what you stand for and how your customers feel. And most importantly, your brand is what your customers and employees tell others about their experience. All else is derivative of this and only this." So, Stan Phelps, just so you know, you can't see me. It's an audio-only podcast, but I am wearing a black shirt for this interview, and I'm not kidding.
I love that.
I have to get into character, man. You know, I'm not going to tell you what else I'm wearing because then it kind of derails the conversation and people stop listening immediately. But let's go back. Explain what you mean when you write that there's no such thing as just meeting customer expectations, and that it's like playing defense.
Yeah. So this was kind of, I had a moment of truth, Douglas, and I think we've talked about this before, where I was at this New York City rooftop bar, and I met this older gentleman, and we sparked up this conversation about being on time. Mm-hmm. And I was stressing the importance of being on time. And this guy looked at me, and he shook his head, and he said, looked me in the eyes, and he said, "No." He said, "No one is ever on time." And I went, "Wait a second." I go, "I've been on time before." I go, "Not often, but I've been on." And he lifted his finger in front of me, and he gave me the Dikembe finger wag in my face. And he said, "No." He said, "In fact," he said, "on time is a myth." He said, "People in life are either early or they're late." He said, "No one is ever just on time." And I had this kind of, it took, and I agree, you're either early or you're late. There's no such thing as being exactly on time. And I'll never forget, I took the train back up to Connecticut that night, and I thought to myself, that's the missing link for marketing. Because marketing, to me, should be more about the customer than chasing the prospect. And here's the thing, no one, and I mean no one, ever just meets the expectations of a customer, right? You either fall short or you exceed expectations. And it was based on that insight that I said, I'm going to look for 1,001 examples of companies that purposely set out to do a little bit more. And that led me on the quest that led to Purple Goldfish.
And you looked for, was it 1,000 examples?
1,001 was the goal. It took, which was about the stupidest thing I've ever done in my life.
Oh, it wasn't appearing on this podcast. Oh, what a relief. Thank you. Yeah, you set these goals for yourself. It's like you're Don Quixote saying, okay, now I'm going to go find 500 examples of this. And you slowly started to back it off, like, okay, maybe I don't need to find that many in the future.
Well, I had a pretty good network, and within a couple of weeks, I had almost 200 examples. And I said to myself, how long is this going to take? I'm going to be done in, 3 months. And you know, you get past your initial network, and then I started to write about it, and it was, you know, it was, in hindsight, 501 would have been very impressive.
I think so. Yeah.
Right. Right. And here's the thing: I know it was. You only realize a mistake when you've done it a second time. So when I wrote Green Goldfish, I did not learn from my first mistake, and I did it again. Right. That's how smart I am.
Well, well. So now I think the other big takeaway and learning for everyone, including all you listeners out there, is that good things happen when you go to a bar.
Right, right. That there is something that actually comes out of, this is 2009 when this happened. And I believe that beer was like $16 in Manhattan. So yes, you can get something out of a $16 beer.
Yes. And let's not forget to tip those hard-working bartenders. Okay, tip them well and good things will come to you. So let me go to another section. And I want to ask you why this is, because this just blew me away. See, what I do is I read the book, and then I just want to talk about the things that just blow me away. It's kind of how I roll. So this is on page XV of the introduction, which is page 15 for the listeners in Rome. And recently, I met Steve Sheinkopf, the CEO of Yale Appliance, who's a Marketing Book podcast listener, which will come as no surprise because he's a very good-looking guy. And he listens to this podcast so closely, he said, "Hey, let me ask you something. Why do you do that stupid joke about the Roman numerals?" Well, Steve, not because they're funny, but because I think they're funny. So there you go. Kind of like the dad joke. Okay, so on page 15 of the intro, referrals and word of mouth are the best forms of marketing. The research indicates that 85% of businesses say that's how customers learn about them. Sorry, Google. Search engines come in at a distant second at 59%. But even though word of mouth has such a major impact on buying behavior, less than 1% of businesses have a word of mouth strategy. Why do you think that is?
Jay Baer has done a lot of work in this space, so I'll credit him. Yeah, it's a mystery if nearly 9 out of 10 companies say, "Hey, word of mouth and referrals is the best thing that my that powers my business." And then you ask them, "Well, what's your actual strategy to get that word of mouth?" And it's like, like no answer. I mean, that's it's crazy to think that. So to me, you know, if you're, and this is what Purple Goldfish was originally about, it's the idea of what are the little things that you're not doing, you know, once every 100 customers, or, you know, the amazing thing that you do that you could never scale. You know, you hear these customer kind of hero stories. What's the thing that you do that makes your experience different? And it's either the thing that you do that adds value and goes above and beyond kind of the transaction, or it's the thing that you do to make it, you know, that much easier for your customer to do business with you. Mm-hmm. And if you're not doing... And the great companies do multiple things. I've got a whole hall of fame. But if you're not doing signature things that people that make you memorable and talkable, I mean, I guess you can just keep buying ads. Here's the thing. You know, research shows that if somebody's been referred to you, they're absolute gold because they stay with you longer and they spend more money with you. In some cases, it's like a 2x in terms of their lifetime value. And here's the absolute, you know, this is the duh aspect of this. If somebody has also been referred to you, what are they more apt to do? They're more apt to refer you. So they refer up to twice the amount of people over their lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? The people that they refer, you know, it's like that she tells two people and then right. she tells two. Are you playing the multiple game or are you playing the, you know, work really hard through traditional to get that person through the door or to convert through the funnel, and they're not worth a fraction of what that referral is.
Yeah.
So if you're not doing something that, and this is also part of the metaphor behind the goldfish, was because of Kimpton Hotels. And really quick, Kimpton's they do an amazing job on the guest experience. And one of the things that they used to do, they no longer do it. They used to, if you requested it, they would give you a pet goldfish for your stay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you didn't get to keep the goldfish, but it was your pet for your stay, and they would take care of it. And I was like, if you had a goldfish in your room, there's not a chance that that's not showing up on Instagram, yes. Facebook, and that you're telling everyone you know when you get back from your business trip or vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that as such a little signature, little thing that they do that makes them talkable.
Yeah, kind of like the warm cookies at the...
Doubletree.
Yeah, Doubletree. Yeah, interesting. Well, you know, I want to go back to something you mentioned. You talk about, you know, there's certain things that make a goldfish grow, and there's only so many of them that actually a company can control. The one thing you can't compete on is the experience that you offer people. And right. just in case there's anyone listening who's sitting there with their arms crossed, hopefully not driving, but they're thinking, I don't know, they'll call us if they need something. I don't know. We sell widgets and, you know, whatever. I just want to read this one thing from page 9 where you say, research by Gartner shared that 89% of companies believe that the number one thing they'll compete on is the experience they provide. It's no longer price, location, or even service. It's the entire experience. Gartner asked the same question in 2011. Only 36% of companies elected experience as the number one factor. That provides stark evidence on how much more important the experience is today. And this is what really got me. In fact, 86% of buyers are willing to pay more for a great customer experience. That is definitely true for this consumer.
Right. You know, I've heard that number as also about 70%. So 30% buy on price, 70% buy on the experience.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to be part of the 30% where it's a race to the bottom? Or do you want to differentiate on the experience that you provide and actually get a high margin on your product or service?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even think that's really a question.
Well, maybe they just need to be aware of it, yeah. Well, let's jump to one of my favorite concepts from Purple Goldfish, Langnap, if I'm pronouncing that correct. I'm having trouble with my pronunciation today. But to explain that concept, I love it.
So Langnap dates all the way back to the 1800s. It originated in Louisiana. It's a Creole word. And so Creole is, you know, the mix of French and Spanish together. And I love this. Mark Twain wrote in his autobiography when he was, you know, just starting out working on steamboats, he spent a fair amount of time in New Orleans, and he said, Langnap was a word worth traveling to New Orleans to get. And then he explains a little bit of what it is. So it's the idea that when you're in New Orleans, it's a little something extra. And it's the idea that when you do a transaction with a business, the merchant would typically throw a little something extra in for good measure to kind of honor the relationship. And so I think it's one of the most powerful concepts in business, because most business is based on what I would call a market economy transaction. It's kind of a push and pull. We're both trying to extract value. At the end of the day, everything has to be, you know, quote unquote, equal. And this is the idea that you can still have that transactional nature, but then you can leverage a gift economy concept and actually layer in that little gift, that little something extra to honor the relationship with the customer.
And does it need to be a surprise?
So here's the thing. Yeah, it doesn't have to be a surprise. Typically, I can vividly remember my first business trip after I finished graduate school and staying at a DoubleTree hotel after being delayed. It was in Atlanta, Georgia, being delayed for like 5 hours, not having dinner. And I think I almost ate my fingers when I got that cookie. It tasted so good.
You didn't know that about DoubleTree.
No, I didn't. It was okay. A total surprise to me.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, the first time it may be a surprise, but and it may become an expectation, but more importantly, it becomes a differentiator.
Mm-hmm.
And when we live in a world where there's not that much of a difference between brand A and brand B, sometimes it's those little things that are triggers for us. It may be in our subconscious that we make some decisions and then we rationalize them. But those little things to me are little beacons that the company cares and is willing to go above and beyond the transaction.
Well, let's jump to the some questions about Green Goldfish. And you talk in there about Green Goldfish is about employees.
Right.
Right. So the two most important feet in business are the last two feet of a transaction, the space between the employee and the customer. Explain what you mean when you then go on to write that culture trumps strategy and principles beat rules.
Yeah, so here's the thing. This is what I found is you could have all of the focus on the customer. You could create the most amazing programs. You could design the best experiences. But if you don't have the people that are engaged, there's no chance you're going to create that great experience. So, and it's not my quote, the idea of this value zone, the last 2 feet of that transaction is where all of the value gets created. That's where the experience hits the road. It all starts with your team members and your employees. And that's your first sale. If you can't create that great experience for them, if you can't truly show that you care about them and you enable them to provide that great experience, then you're sunk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, culture will beat the best strategy every day of the week and twice on Sunday. Culture happens, your culture is what happens when you're not in the room, right? You can have all of the rules you want, but they'll never stand up to the principles and the intentions that you provide to your employees.
Yes. So I want to jump over to page 48, down to the bottom, and ask you, You write of 75 possible drivers of employee engagement, the one that was rated as the most important was what?
The extent to which your employees believe that their leadership has a sincere interest in their well-being.
Bam!
Yeah. And looking at another 1,000 examples, you start to see patterns. And one of them, which is a clear, no pun intended, clear pattern, was the importance of transparency.
Mm-hmm.
And so, being kind of open by design, creating an environment where people understand why decisions are being made. And they don't have to make up the reasons, for why things happen in the workplace. So having that clear environment where people understand that you care, that you're empowering them. Number one driver is what your employees believe when they think about their leaders.
And you cannot fake it. Let me just read this again. Of 75 possible drivers of employee engagement, the one that was rated as the most important was the extent to which employees believe that their senior management had a sincere interest in their well-being. So I want to jump over to ask you to another section and talk about what you call the natural triggers of human trust and loyalty. Could you talk about warmth and competence? I thought that was interesting. Warmth and competence.
Right. So when we talk about creating an experience, we can't underestimate how important kind of the first impression is. That's why, you know, how you onboard an employee, you know, your employees make a decision very early in their tenure whether they're going to be with the company for the short or the long term. That first impression that you give a customer and how you onboard that customer is absolutely key. And part of the research, this is social psychology, is that 80% of how we view other people comes down to just two factors. And the first one is the intention of that person, which is what they would label as warmth. Mm-hmm. And then their ability to carry out that intent, which is called competence. And so 80% of how we view other people comes down to just two factors. And it, what's interesting, there's a great book on this called The Human Brand by Chris Malone and Susan T. Fiske. And it's the idea that even for companies, as we view companies, over 50% of how we view companies come down to just those two factors of warmth and competence. And so that was a big driver for me on the first three colors within the series.
Mm-hmm.
That you've got to get those basic things figured out before you can kind of level up, you know, and get to the really high end stuff in terms of people's needs of connection and purpose. You've got to nail warmth and competence.
Interesting how something as complex can be boiled down to those two ideas. And well, then once you read it, it makes all kinds of sense. Damn it. So I want to jump to page 70, and I'm just going to read this, and it includes a question, and I want Stan Phelps to answer it. You write, customer experience has become the new battleground for competitive advantage in business. So we've talked about that. But with every wise company focusing on customer experience, Stan Phelps, how do you stand out and differentiate? And I'll be back in about 45 minutes, see how you're doing.
Well, and I was just listening to an interview yesterday about the late Jack Welch.
Yes.
Former, you know, 20 plus year run as the CEO of GE. Neutron Jack every year would fire the bottom 10% of performers at GE. And it's interesting, this interview last night was basically saying that he was like the end of capitalism, like he ruined capitalism. But he said something pretty prophetic, that if you want to stand out, there's only two things that you need to do to gain competitive advantage. And I absolutely love this. He said, first, you have to learn about your customers faster than your competition. So to me, that's all about learning, being close to the ground, getting insights. But he said, insight isn't enough. He said, the second part to achieving competitive advantage is putting those insights into action faster than your competition.
Yes.
So it's not just enough to know, you have to actually be able to turn and burn and put those insights into action.
I loved it. Let me just quote from the book. There are only two sources of competitive advantage: the ability to learn more about our customers faster than the competition and the ability to turn that learning into action faster than the competition. And I always say on this show and in so many books that I've read, those companies that have the deepest insights into their customers always seem to win. And, you know, Amazon is a perfect example about that. Jeff Bezos, that organization, they're obsessed with their customers and the friction that might be in the customer's life. and they've profited handsomely from doing that.
Right.
In fact, let's see, it was from page 82. He said, "We seek to be Earth's most customer-centric company. We're not competitor-obsessed, we're customer-obsessed. We start with the customer and we work backward. We've had three big ideas at Amazon that we've stuck with for years, and they're the reason we're successful. Put the customer first, invent, and be patient."
Yeah, that's amazing. Oh,
such great advice. It's easy to say, hard to do, but let's talk about me now, Stan Phelps.
I tell you, no one wants to get email. We all want to get me-mail.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, and let's, you know, talk about you.
I give and give and give, and now I want to talk about me. Now, I am one of the most awesome people in the world. Now stay with me. Stay with me. I know some people are driving off the road or tuning out, but I'm one of the most awesome people in the world because I have so many flaws. Talk about how our flaws make us awesome.
Yeah. So Pink Goldfish, maybe the best book in the entire series. And I would say that even if David Rendell, you know, wasn't standing next to me.
Well, he is a tall guy and very athletic, so he could probably break you in half. Yeah,
I was just in Australia. I had to say that he was 2 meters tall, so 6'6". So we studied over 400 examples of companies that achieved competitive separation. It turns out only about 3% of companies have the ability to stand out. And when we studied that length of companies, it turned out it was very clear that there's only two ways that you can stand out. And one is a more strategy and one is a less strategy. And the more strategy is do more of what makes you unique, weird, or flawed. Like the things that make you stand out from being normal. And then the second strategy is the less strategy. And it's the idea of looking at what everyone else does, quote unquote, as a norm, and you simply decide to do less of some of those things. And when you boil it down, that's the only two ways to stand out in business.
There is a great quote from the management guru, Tom Peters, on page 97. Because, you know, we all want to be not different. We want to blend in. People are so afraid. And this is for them, okay? He said, "It can be just as dangerous to simply remain average." He argues that it is no longer safe to be the same, to be normal, to be indistinct. Let that sink in for a minute. He is saying that the only safe move, only prudent choice, the only wise decision is to become unusual, different, strange, and remarkable. And that's what Pink Goldfish is based on, that, you know, the weird brands win.
Right. And that our flaws, the things that make us unique and different, may hold the keys to what makes us awesome. Or as we say, the things that make us
flawsome.
It's by far, and again, what I love when I go into any project, when you look across hundreds of examples, you're always looking for kind of the framework. And by far, this is the best framework that we've come up with, because flawsome is not only a portmanteau, which is two words that get smooshed together to make one, which is flawsome. It's also an acronym for the 8 different types of Pink Goldfish.
Yes. So, Stan Phelps, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Are you having a good time?
This is by far my favorite, and I'm not saying that just for the third time.
Okay. So, would you say you're happy?
I'm happy, which is maybe the ultimate goal for anything that you should do in business.
Yes. So how can, Stan Phelps, how can happiness be the most sustainable competitive advantage and the ultimate currency in business?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like too much of a simple concept. Like, if you can put happiness at the center of what you do, if you can make sure that your employees are happy, right? That's going to help lead to happy customers. If you're doing, if you're grounded in purpose and you're doing something to better society and you're creating a happier world that we can live in, that's the ultimate win in business.
Yeah, it makes so much sense. It hurts.
In fact, well, there is a happiness index out there. But really, is there a greater goal if you were going to set your sights?
Mm-hmm.
If all of your stakeholders were happy, your employees, your customers, your shareholders, society itself was better. I don't know if anything that's more complete than that.
But you know what's interesting is that you first have to find out what would make them happy. And that's an insight that a lot of companies probably don't bother to find out about their customers.
Right.
So at the top of the conversation, I talked about how helpful you were in providing me with really constructive feedback, inspiring feedback. It made me want to go do more talks. So I want to close on some things you talk about related to communication, which is in the Silver Book, right?
Silver Goldfish, yeah.
Silver Goldfish. So when communicating, this is from page 155 for those playing the home game. When communicating, how can you tell if the desired communication is actually taking place?
Yeah, the only way you've ever communicated something is if people can repeat back what you said in their own words.
Uh-huh.
The idea you were communicating. The central idea of what you're communicating. The biggest myth in communication is the idea that it actually happened.
Yes. I love it.
Right.
Was it George Bernard Shaw who that was attributed to?
Yeah. The single biggest myth is the idea and the illusion that it's actually taken place, that you've actually communicated. And so that, to me, it's so important when you do any type of presentation that you start with the one thing, right? And there should only ever be one thing. What's the central idea and how do you put it forth in a way that people can be able to put it in their own words and make it memorable?
Mm. Well, speaking of the one thing, Stan Phelps, if readers took only one thing away from the book, what would you hope it would be?
My hope it would be the idea of I'm going to go back to the foundation, the idea of purple, and how can you do that signature little extra? And I would challenge any listener right now, you know, research will tell you that customers that already do business with you, Douglas, on average, they only know about 20% of your overall capability.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? These are people that are already stroking a check to you and paying money to you, right?
And they probably like you more than you realize. Yeah, people's customers like them more than they realize.
And so here's the thing, and I think this is one of the 10 types of purple goldfish, but it's the simple idea of sampling. So maybe, and I would challenge anyone listening to this, maybe your little extra is giving your customers a taste of that little something extra that as part of your other capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you expose them to maybe just a little bit more? And we know this, it makes sense. The more that customer buys from you, right, the more satisfied they are, the more profitable they are, and the longer they stay with you. When you take somebody from, you know, doing two or three things with you to like four or five, you're almost never going to lose them as a customer.
Mm. I can't think of an author that has had a more difficult question asked than the one I just asked you. Which is, this book summarizes all of your other books, and I say, what's the one thing? And that's why Purple was one of my favorite books, Purple Goldfish. So I want to draw attention to one thing you said, though. Don't just tell them about the other 80% things you do. Figure out a way to let them experience it.
Right. Yeah. And we think about sampling as something we think about for the prospect. And so that's such, we know sampling is probably the lowest hanging fruit in marketing. But again, we think about sampling with regard to the prospect. And the challenge I would say is, how do you think about sampling with the customers that you already have?
Well, that is a great thing that every listener can go and do today, to think about that, put that in action. So are there any recent or upcoming books that you recommend or have heard about or you're looking forward to reading?
So I will tell you one that I absolutely really resonated with me on a couple levels. Are you familiar with Alchemy from Rory Sutherland?
Yeah, he was on the show a couple years back. What a book.
Absolutely love, as Rory would say, psycho logic.
Yes.
But the one thing that really jumped out to me was he talks about this concept of signaling, that we are looking for signals within the environment, right? Companies that provide really good service, that's a signal to the customer that you're in it for the long term. Companies that do little things for their customers, that have these little beacons or signals, that's an indication that you care about your customers. So I just thought, overarching, that was just one of 10 amazing things from Alchemy. But
that book was such an adventure to read.
Yeah.
You know, and it's one that, you know, would be worth reading again. And I've heard from so many people who have read that, who have talked about it. So yeah, that's quite a book. And he's quite a guy.
Right. He's a character.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, I will include a link to that interview at marketingbookpodcast.com, which is also where I'm going to include a link to your site and your LinkedIn profile and your Twitter account and all the other books that have been mentioned. And now a word to you, dear listener. I want to ask you a big favor. Please reach out in some way to Stan Phelps and congratulate him on this book and thank him for being a guest on the Marketing Book Podcast. Check on his health. Thank him for pulling through with the will to live. Right. To be able to speak to the Marketing Book Podcast listeners. Send him a message on LinkedIn or Twitter, or go to his website. I'm going to include a link to that. Guests on the show have told me how much they really enjoy hearing from Marketing Book Podcast listeners, and not just because Marketing Book Podcast listeners are so ridiculously good looking. And if you are listening on your smartphone and you've subscribed to the Marketing Book Podcast on your favorite podcast app like Spotify or Apple Podcasts, all these links can be found by going to this episode right now and clicking on this episode's website link. I'm sorry, Stan, I just got to quote this one more time from page 172. Final quote: your brand today is no longer what you tell people it is. It is the differentiated experience your employees deliver. It is what you stand for and how your customers feel about you. And most importantly, your brand is what your customers and employees tell others about their experience. All else is derivative of this and only this.
Can we do a little lanyap for the listeners, though?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So if they reach out to me, and we did this on the last episode when I was on for Purple, if they reach out to me and connect with me on LinkedIn, just mention Marketing Book Podcast. Anywhere in the world, I will mail them a Marketing Book Podcast sticker, right? A bookmark and a black Goldfish, these stickers are super cool.
Yeah.
They're like the, what do they call that when it reflects and you see all the different colors?
Oh, I don't know. But listener, you're going to get it because he didn't even give it to me. So, you know.
But that's my gift back to everyone. So just reach out to connect with me on LinkedIn, and I'd be happy to send you the trifecta.
Yeah, and he can also give you tips on fighting COVID. So it's really going to be a lot of extras there. The book is Black Goldfish, 10 Keys to Creating a Differentiated Experience. The author is Stan Phelps. Stan, thank you very much for returning to the Marketing Book Podcast.
I'm a three-timer. Thank you so much, Douglas.
And that closes the book on another episode of the Marketing Book Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it and found it helpful. Special thanks to this episode's sponsor, Marketing Architects, creators of the all-inclusive TV advertising concept that's so revolutionary, they wrote a book about it. For a free copy of the book, All-Inclusive TV, How Booming Brands Are Reimagining TV Advertising, visit this episode's website page at marketingbookpodcast.com or visit marketingarchitects.com/book and tell them you heard about it on the Marketing Book Podcast. And if you're one of the legions of listeners who have left an iTunes review, please let me return your kind favor by mailing you some Marketing Book Podcast stuff. Just send me your mailing address anywhere in the world, and I'll drop it in the mail. And remember the words of the late, great Jim Rohn, who said, "Formal education will make you a living. Self-education will make you a fortune."